Welcome to a powerful encounter with the Word of God, brought to you by Eastwood Annabelle.
It's very interesting, but people, fact is that every savior has got wounds. When you talk to all of us, you see wounds. And the wounds, when they even heal, they create a scar. And neither the wounds nor the scars are things you like. But they are there. And you will have to battle through life with a lot of wounds. One day Pharaoh asked Jacob, "How old are you?" He said, "Few have been my days on earth, and these days have been evil." These days have been evil. Wounds. You go through life and you wounds are on you everywhere. You know, the only unfortunate thing is that sometimes when you have your wounds, you think you are the only person with the wounds. You think other people don't have wounds. And then some of us are so embarrassed about the wounds. Some of us too are so pained about the wounds that we are not able to do anything about our lives. And when you also have the wounds, you are likely to think that there's something wrong with you. Now, when you have the wounds, what the wounds do is that some people, the wounds just stop them completely from doing what they have to do. You read your Bible in Isaiah chapter 53, and I will start from verse 1 because it's very interesting. I'll start from the verse number 1, and I'll just keep reading. "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him that we should desire him." Verse number 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Then the Bible said in the verse number 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed." That word "wounded" means to profane. He was profaned for our sake. It also means to break. He was broken for our sake. It also means to defile. He was defiled for our sake. It means to stain. He was stained for our sake. It means to slay. He was slain for our sake. It means to have sorrow, and he had sorrow because of us. So you read this scripture and it says he was wounded for our transgression. Now, many of us, we have some wounds because of our own transgressions, but he had the wounds because of us. That means that he went through pain. Anything he suffered, it was because of us. Any wound he had on his life was because of us. And that was the savior. And the Bible said that the servant cannot be greater than the master. So you and I, as we follow God as saviors, we will by all means have wounds. And when Jesus came to the earth, he did not hide his wounds. In fact, when he rose from the dead and he appeared to the disciples, the Bible said at the time when he appeared to the disciples, Thomas was not with the rest. He was not present with them, and Jesus appeared. Thomas comes later and they tell him that the Lord has appeared. The Lord has resurrected from the dead. He appeared to us. He said, "Until I see him, I will not believe it. I must see him and I must put my fingers where he had the wounds." So Jesus Christ appeared, and in John chapter number 20, the verse number 24, the Bible said, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord." We have seen the Lord. We have seen the Savior. But he said unto them, and I like, this is one time Thomas got an answer correct. He said, when I see him, the Savior, when I see him, I want to see him and recognize him. And the only way I'll recognize that Savior is if I see him and I see his hands, the print of the nails, and I put my finger in the print of the nails, and I thrust my hand into his side. If I don't see these things, I will not believe. That means I can only recognize the Savior by his wounds. I want to ask somebody who is saying you are a Savior, where are your wounds? Some of us have no wounds. We haven't gone through anything in life. We have not experienced anything major. Because the wounds are the things that are painful. They are the things that are embarrassing. They are the things that are shameful. They are the things that limit you. They are the things that place limitations on your life. So if you are born in the, if you are born and you realize that you are a woman, it means where men are running, you must fly. But when God created this earth, it is human beings. He said, have dominion. Subdue the earth and have dominion. Bogatanga, God is not going to make Bogatanga. You and I will make it. You and I will make it. So if you sit down and you are not thinking about screens, you are not thinking about auditorium, you are not thinking about chairs, you are not thinking about building, you are not thinking about education, you are not thinking about hospital, you are not thinking about farms, and you are waiting for God and angels to come and do it for you, they will not appear. So you know what? Knowing where I come from makes me aggressive. Knowing where I come from, knowing where I live, knowing where I do ministry, injects some impetus in me. Listen to me. Everybody in this world, you are likely to have a certain kind of wound. It's when you travel abroad that you realize that even your skin color is a wound. Wounds. Wounds in life. So Jesus appears and says, Thomas, to recognize me, come and put your hand in the wound. Come and put the hand in my wounds. Listen to me. Your wounds look like they embarrass you. But they are the ones that show that you've gone to war and come back. They are the ones that show that you died and you rose from the dead. Let me tell you this. What makes you you is not the certificate you are carrying. It is the things you've been through, the pains you've gone through, the embarrassments you've gone through, the disgrace you've gone through, the crying you have cried. They are the things that have made you who you are. And if you can shout, you are more than a conqueror. Strange that whilst Jesus was in a hurry to show his wounds, we are always trying our best to hide them. Look at all the trousers we are wearing. I know we like to wear trousers, but some people, it's scar. But we cover the scars, they embarrass us. We don't know that they are part of our life. And Jesus said, come and see. Come and see the scar. He put the scars on. He said, now. And verse 26. And after 8 days again, the disciples were with him. And Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So he just appeared and said, peace be unto you. The doors being shut, peace be unto you. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, he was not there, but he knew. That's how powerful he was. Is that Tommy? Tom. Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and trust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. He believed that this was the Savior because of the pain, because of the wounds, because of the shame, the limitations, the infirmities. You know what, people? Let me tell you this, Pastor. The reason people would like to come to your church is because they identify with you. You know what, men of God, pastors, Christians, our wounds are the things that attract people to church. So here is a woman at the well of Sychar, 5 men. She's now with somebody else, number 6, who is not the husband. When she went and told them, I have seen the Messiah, they believed that, because they said, if this woman can see Messiah, we can see Messiah. I came to tell somebody under the sound of my voice, your wounds should not disqualify you from serving God. Your wounds, that is why I declared, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now watch this. I command your past to catch up with your prophecy. I command your past to catch up with your prophecy, and I command your present to catch up with your prophecy. May your past, may your present, may what you are going through now and your present pain, may it not stop your future. Come on, scream like your voice is yours and pray. Now, so here is Jesus. And he's saying, look at my wounds. And when John saw the wounds, he said, my Lord, my God. When Thomas saw the wounds, he said, my Lord and my God. Don't you think Thomas should have said, but if you are God, if you are Lord and you are God, why did you get wounds? Why didn't God save you from wounds? You know, these days when a pastor is sick, if he says he's a man of God, why is he sick? If he says he's a man of God, why did that happen to him? Why did that happen to him? Why did that happen to him? Thomas said, no. If you can get these wounds, and you can die, and you can rise up from the dead, you must be my Lord and my God. And I came to talk to somebody right now. You got a wound that killed others. You got into something that destroyed others, and they never got up again. But you walked through it. You survived it. You went through it, and you are still standing. I pray in the name of Jesus, you are a special personality. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. A snake bit Paul. The people said, this man is a sinner. Even on the island, God is still chasing him to kill him. And they were waiting for him to swell up and die. And they watched the man, and he was still standing. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour. Akwai beto for me wu. The Bible said, and they changed their minds, and they said, this man must be a god. I came to tell somebody right now, don't be ashamed of your wounds. Don't be ashamed of your limitations. Don't be afraid of your ashamed of your infirmities until the end of the story comes.
This is not the end of the story. One day, the end of the story is that on the other side of eternity, you will stand there and God will say, well done, my son, well done, my daughter. You went through something. You went through wound. You went through pain. You went through shame. Something that disqualified others. Something that killed others. But you went through it. And in all these things, you were more than a conqueror. And all things work together for your good. Because you are called after the Lord. You survived it. You overcame it. You overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. The devil shot at you. You fell down. But you said, rejoice not against me, oh my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And if I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I came to declare, you are a survivor. Your wounds don't stop you. Your scars don't stop you. Your pain does not stop you. Your shame does not stop you. Come on, scream. Come on, scream. Come on, shout like I'm talking. Shout. Hallelujah. Don't let indebtedness drive you out of a town. Don't let shame drive you out of a town. Don't let embarrassment make you leave an office. The same office where you were embarrassed. Stand there and prove to them that I can. Listen. There is a tree proverb. There is a tree proverb. And today we declare that proverb ineffective. You see, engineer, they move entity there. Engineer and crani. But who cares? A bit different. Who be genuine? Attitude at the end. You are good. What is in crani? Ants. You are going to stand in the midst of ants and overcome the ants. They say a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. But you are going to stay in your own country, stay in your own town, stay in your own village, and be an overcomer. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Come on, scream like your voice is yours and pray. Listen, without your wounds, you are like another man. Your wounds make up your story. Without your wounds, you are like any other person. Now here is Jesus with wounds. The Apostle Paul. Apart from Jesus, I've never seen anybody who carries wounds like designer clothes, like Apostle Paul. One day, Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and he said, I want to take you to a designer shop and show you the designer clothing I wear. The designer clothing I wear to boast. Let me take you to the designer shop. I want to take you to a photo studio where they shoot pictures. And I want to show you the things that make me proud and the thing that makes me poor. And the Bible said, Second Corinthians chapter 11 verse 22.
Paul is talking about himself and other apostles. Oh, and normally I normally hear the people when they are talking about the fact that they are great men of God, they talk about their credentials. I have healed the sick, I have cast out devils, I have raised the dead. My church is 10,000 members. My church is 20,000 members. I work miracles and I do signs and wonders. Paul said, I just want to show you the kind of apostle I am. He said, let's walk through this gallery, picture gallery. I want to show you something. I want to show you who this apostle is. I want to show you my credentials. I want to show you who I am. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. But you see, being a Hebrew, go back. Being a Hebrew, being an Israelite, and being of the seed of Abraham should have given me artificial and automatic immunity against some things. But you know what? God allowed me to go through all things like all men. You know what, baby? No matter how special you are, there are things human beings go through, and God will allow you to go through some of them. Listen, one of Jesus' own disciples, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him and went and committed suicide. You know what would have happened if Jesus was alive and one of his disciples had committed suicide? No, straight away, he's not a man of God. What kind of man of God is this? His disciple can resign and go and commit suicide. When we pastors go through crisis, people blame us for our crisis. When our members go through crisis, people don't blame the members. They blame us for the crisis of the members. So, sometimes, you know, as a man of God, Hebrew, Israelite, seed of Abraham, you are expecting that people will carry you in a palanquin and celebrate you. But that was not the case. He said in the next verse, are they ministers of Christ? So am I. I speak as a fool. I am born. Now, that word minister there is diakonia. It means a servant. He said, in spite of being the seed of Abraham, in spite of being an Israelite, in spite of being a Hebrew, I have a wound. I have a scar. I have an infirmity. I am not the king they put on a palanquin or in a palanquin. I am a minister. Now look at the other credentials. In labors, more abundant. I labor. In stripes. He said in labors, in stripes, above measure. So they used to beat up Paul. He said, I'm taking you through a gallery, a picture gallery. I want to show you my life. The kind of man of God I am. And he's not talking about the souls he's won. He's not talking about the miracles he wrought. He's not showing them his cars and his houses. He's not showing you the number of branches of churches he has opened. Wounds. In stripes above measure. In prison more frequent. In depths often. He said, I came into near-death situations many times. I don't know why I'm still standing here alive. I've gone through things. Deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times. Received I 40 stripes. Save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And by this he meant probably that there was a deep well around Lystra, and after he had been beaten and tormented, they took him and they put him in the well, and by a miraculous means he escaped. That is one possibility. Some to believe he was put in a dungeon. Others believe that he was taken up from out of a ship and they threw him in the water, and he found some pieces of wood or planks or piece of ship part, and he stayed on it until he was rescued. Some to believe he was thrown on the sea and he stayed on a rock until he was rescued. All of that speculation for biblical studies confusion. In journeys, often I have traveled and traveled and traveled, horseback, walking, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And you are thinking about the churches and the pain of not seeing the churches grow the way you want them to grow, and not expanding at the rate you want them to expand. The pain, the care, the pain. You can't sleep. You're in a church and the members are divorcing. One leaves his wife, the other, that, no, they divorce in your face. And when you are 60 something, I know every one of you are hoping that you will live up to 100 years. You are hoping that you will live up to 200 years. But baby, that is because you are 40 years. That's because you are 30 years. That is because you are 50 years. You are not 60 yet. You are not 61 yet. You are not 62 yet. But where I said, though I'm not the chairman of the Fountain Gate Chapel, I am the founder. Though I'm not the chairman, I am the founder. And listen to me, I have a burden concerning the future of this church. Will this church survive like the Church of Pentecost? I don't know. Will it survive like the Methodist Church? I don't know. Will it survive like the Presbyterian Church? I don't know. That is why sometimes I sound like a madman. I sound like a crazy man. I sound like a man who's lost his senses. And when you look at me, you think, why? Why is this man so much full of anger, frustration? Baby, the burden of the churches, the thing you don't care about, the thing that doesn't worry you, because you are a young man and you think you have time to make reparations. I have no such luxury of time, because Paul called himself Paul the aged. I call myself Isu the aged, and I want to call my sons and my daughters to stop the bickering and stop your excuses and stop the kind of things that you think are your guilt excuses, and you take them like filthy rags and you swing them and fling them before God, and you are giving good reasons why you are late, why you cannot be there, why you cannot be serious, and you think you are making sense. Baby, you are making no sense.
I believe you've been blessed by this message. For further information, please visit www.eastwoodannaba.com. God bless you richly.